And for those of you who are tuning in with us this morning, are you ready to hear from the Lord? I hope that you are tuning in this morning to today's message with the anticipation of hearing from God. Today's message is really a continuation of last week's message. Over the course of a few weeks, we have been seeking God in areas that we need to change. And this can be very different for each and every one of us, because we are all different. We have found that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is there to point out changes that are needed. And the Holy Spirit also equips us and helps us to change in those areas. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. He is another helper, another like Jesus, that will come and stay and dwell in the believers. Can we resist his guidance and his help? Yes, we can. But when we trust the Lord and seek moving forward in our relationship with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit, not resist him, allow the Holy Spirit to change us, even when it gets very uncomfortable, we will see a transformation take place in our lives. Peter, one of Jesus' apostles, was very close to Jesus. We've been talking about him for a number of Sundays now. But after Jesus' betrayal and arrest, Peter denied Jesus three times. And after Jesus' resurrection, Peter confessed to loving Jesus three times. We saw some changes in Peter so far. Remember, Jesus wanted the follower, Peter, to become the rock among the apostles and the leader in his church. Getting from one to the other was a journey for Peter. That journey would include not just time with Jesus, but also help from the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. And as I was writing this message, I began to remember back in seminary. There were students from all over the country attending the school there. And in fact, there were students from all over the world. And because of the type of school, there were various age ranges and backgrounds. Something I really liked doing was hearing about people's journeys, hearing them tell of their journey. Where did they come from in life and how God brought them there to school? Some were young and straight out of undergrad college. Some had been in ministry for decades, while others, like me, had not been in ministry, vocational ministry. Some felt called to pastoral ministry, while others felt called to teach. Some were pastors and others were changing careers and heading into ministry. Kind of like me. The unique part of speaking with students there was that I could get a picture of the journey that they were on. The Lord was directing their paths, and our paths simply crossed in that school. You, like all of the students I spoke to, have been on a journey in your faith. You're on a journey. For some of you, you grew up in a Christian home and have kept the faith. Others may have maybe been exposed to faith in a Christian home, but maybe have departed for a time. Maybe you're tuning in this morning and you're still not sure. Others may have begun following Christ later on in life, and your journey includes a history that you're not proud of, but at the same time, you know in a very powerful way the need for Christ because of what you've experienced. We all have a story. And many people don't think their story is worth telling or worth hearing, but I want you to know that if God is working in your life, your story is important. I ended my message last week with Philippians 1:6. I'd like to read that again for you this morning. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As a committed follower of Christ, I want you to know that he is at work in you. This will be the case until either you die or you are united with Jesus at his return. His work will last our entire lives. Is his work happening in us through reading and understanding Christ's written word and his scripture that we find in the Bible? Yes. Is the good work happening when we spend time with the Lord in prayer? Yes. Is the good work being done through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Yes. And over time, we will see this good work and we will see the journey the Lord has carried us through. I'd like to read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. The Lord has a plan for you. Though there are similarities with other Christians, it will also be different because you are different. God's plan for you will be different from the plan that he has for me. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. The plan that he has for you is a part of the good work that he is doing in your life. Even if we don't understand, and even if we cannot see it, there's a plan, and he's doing a work in your life. I want to return to Peter and the apostles. We see in Scripture that we've come a long way with them since Jesus called them and called, he found them and called them to follow him. After Jesus' death and resurrection, we see they've moved even further. I will say that that was a very difficult time for the apostles, and they struggled to understand, but they were filled with joy at the resurrection. See, there was a plan, and he was doing work in the apostles' lives. When Jesus ascended to heaven, they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit, and so they waited in Jerusalem. This was a part of that plan. On the day of Pentecost, and the day of Pentecost was a feast. Pentecost was a feast that was celebrated 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. Pentecost was an annual harvest festival. But on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came just as Jesus said it would. Let's go ahead and read about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1, I'll be reading a good portion of Scripture today out of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" In that first verse, it says they were all together in one place. Now, this that word "all" is likely referring to the 120 that originally gathered in the upper room. However, where they were at now, we're not really entirely sure. Were they still in the upper room? That's very possible. Or could it be in a building near the temple? That's possible too. We simply don't know. But we know that when the Holy Spirit came, it sounded like a rushing and violent wind. They saw something that looked like fire rest on each of them. Fire in the Old Testament often indicated the manifest presence of God. They heard and began speaking in other tongues. We're told that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This wasn't they were given a portion of the Holy Spirit. It's saying they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in them, and as the Spirit enabled them, they began speaking in different languages, but all were declaring the wonders and praises of God. Each person was speaking praises of God. Now we can often overlook a little something that's written in Scripture there, the part that says the Spirit enabled them to speak. The Spirit enabled them and to be able to speak in a different language. It was a miracle. The part that's often overlooked is that one word, enabled. You see, the Spirit didn't force them to speak, but he enabled them to speak. That means those who were speaking in those different languages and different tongues needed to be willing, or they needed to be willing to be used by the Holy Spirit so others could hear the wonders of God. They were enabled, but not forced. I wonder how many of us, now this is me included, I wonder how many of us have missed out on something incredible because we resisted what the Holy Spirit enabled in us to do. That's a tough question. I know that when the Lord called me to ministry, I resisted at first. I wrestled with it. I couldn't see the bigger picture, and I certainly could not see myself being a pastor at that moment I was called. Believe me, the temptation was there to fully resist the call with countless excuses. Is the Lord speaking to you right now about something? Have you been resisting something that the Lord has been asking of you? And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will enable you to do what God has called you to do, but he's not going to force you. For all of us, the Holy Spirit has enabled us to speak praises of God. He has enabled us to become disciples of Jesus, and He has enabled us to make disciples by sharing our faith. How do I know that? I know that because of what Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of age. I know that He has enabled us to become disciples and to make disciples through sharing our faith, because He has given us the task of sharing our faith. He would not have called us to do that if He has not given us the ability through His Spirit. This is an amazing part of the Holy Spirit's arrival on the day of Pentecost. The very one and only Peter, who denied Jesus publicly three times, will stand up in front of 3,000, if not more, about 3,000 people, and declare with no hesitation who Jesus was and who Jesus is. Let's read on in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14, and read about that. Acts 2:14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and address the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, let's jump ahead just a little bit to verse 36. I'd like to read a little bit more. Peter's continuing to address the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter is not the same as he was before Jesus was crucified. He has been transformed into the likeness of Christ and continuing to be transformed, and has been given strength and boldness and been given the gospel message. He is being and doing what Christ called him to do with the help of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a mighty way and began his work in all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Salvation is for all who will receive Christ, and the Holy Spirit is there to transform us, to guide us, to comfort us. Will you be the one to stand firm in your faith, allowing God to move in you, allowing God to move you out of your comfort zones to do His work that He has enabled you to do through His mighty Holy Spirit? Will you? Peter was moved from his comfort zone to being in front of about 3,000 men and women. The journey may not be easy at times for us, but it is well worth it. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, will you begin that journey right now? Will you ask Him to come into your life and to make you new? If you have been good at making excuses and good at saying no to the Lord, will you pray with me this morning, asking for forgiveness, for saying no? And start saying yes to the Lord. When He puts something on your heart, will you say yes? And trust that the Holy Spirit will enable you to do what He's asked of you. Will you begin living a bold life for Jesus Christ, knowing His Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and equipping you for all good works? I have one last question. Will you ask the Lord? Will you ask to receive anything more that God has for you? It's simply just saying, Lord, if you have something more for me, I'm ready. I believe that we, even though we've been stuck at home a lot more and not being able to do as much as we've been used to doing, I believe we can take this time to focus on what really matters. I believe that we can come out of this time even more changed and transformed if we're willing to trust Jesus and say yes, saying, Jesus, let your will be done in my life. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your message today. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us. Lord, I thank you that you have enabled us to do everything you've asked of us. But Lord, help us to say yes when those times come. Help us to not resist what you're doing in our lives. And we're so thankful that you have a plan for us. We're thankful for the journey that we are on as we draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray for each and every one that is hearing this message this morning. Lord, I know that each and every one of us has another step to take. And I pray that you would guide us, you would direct us. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling to say yes, that they would take a moment. And instead of coming up with excuses, that they would say, yes, Lord. Even though we don't see the whole picture, even though that we don't understand everything, we know that, God, you have something great in mind for each and every one of us. And Lord, our desire is to grow your kingdom. And Lord, our desire is to be used by you to do that. We again thank you for your Holy Spirit and the strength that He gives us. Lord, I pray that you would move in our lives. I pray that you would move in our lives in such a way that it's contagious. That people around us would see what you're doing and that your kingdom would grow because of what your Holy Spirit is doing in us and in this church. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.